On this beautiful Mother's Day, we just want to open up our congregation, our community, to comments, questions, and if you've had some wonderful successes from the blessing, we'd love to hear about that too. So we are in community mode now, and I'm looking forward to talking with anyone who would like the pleasure of sharing their life and opening up their wonderful blessings this day to our community. We have someone on area code 613. You're on. Hi. Hello? Area code 613. I must have clicked you off when I did that. I'm so sorry. If you will just log back in, that would be star 6, and then we'll hear in the that would be star 6 and then press the 1. In the meantime, we have Chris on the telephone. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Glenda. Hey, happy Mother's Day for everybody. I was just spending a little bit of the day remembering my mom, and she's passed on, but I remember a couple of days before she passed on, my brother asked me if she was a really big fan of your angel paintings, and she had some of the posters with her, and in the nursing home, she had had a stroke and still very clear, but not able to move her body. And he asked her one day, he says, have you seen the angels? Because they would come visit her. She said, yeah, they're coming to get me tomorrow. And sure enough, they did. So it was a wonderful.
Oh, that's great. Thing. I remember your mom. Oh, she was such a lovely person.
Oh,
and
my gosh, yeah.
Always will be.
Yeah. So just remembering my mom and sending love to all the moms out there in Mother Earth, our big mom.
Oh, thank you, Chris. You know, Mother's Day is for everyone because even though not all of us are a mom, we all had a mom. And we all live on this great Mother Earth, and we all are the recipient of so many nourishing, nurturing supplies of life that have learned how to nourish us from their mother or someone's mother or someone who taught us how to nurture others. And so this is the day in which we celebrate that life-giving force that we call Mother. And I see that Jean Marie is on. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. I'll chime in, too, with wishing everybody a happy Mother's Day and to our good Earth Mother.
Yes.
Also, I have a prayer request. My stepdad is on, he's kind of defying the odds. He's been in the hospital, going on his second week with nothing but a little bit of supportive oxygen and morphine drip as he is transitioning from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to include Melvin Harris in our blessing today.
I have got him on the list, Melvin Harris. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yes, yes, indeed, we will remember him.
Yeah,
and
we're just watching and waiting. And
well, we pray that his angels will come and give him guidance and closure to lift him on to the higher ground that he should be on now.
Yes, I thank you kindly and to all hearing this. Thank you so much. We're ready for him to fly away home free out of that tired, you know, kind of worn out body, but not worn out that much. So it's kind of a strong body, but he's finished with Parkinson's and dementia.
Oh my darling, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
well,
it's a deal, and it's his time.
Yeah, yeah.
Soon.
And life doesn't, I think that this is a very good moment, ironically, to talk about mothers, because life begins in the womb long before we have named the child or before we even know its gender or have a sense of the person that will be there. Life emerges from the great ocean of living potential. And life itself, as a great force, knows when that spark of life is ready to ignite and produce a little flame inside the womb of some ready and able young woman, or it could be an animal. I mean, it's not only the human child we're talking about. It could be an acorn. It could be a tree. But, you know, lots of acorns get planted every year by the squirrels, and not very many of them come up. What starts life is actually the great ocean of life that ignites that little flame. And that little flame of light then begins a transformative process that causes the DNA to say, hello, hello universe, hello life, here I am. And then in response to that little hello, there has to be a welcome, a little welcome back from some nurturing envelope in a little Easter egg, in a little chicken egg. That nurturing envelope is the yolk of the egg, and then the white of the egg that literally is the food of the little baby bird until it can peck its way out. The same nourishment is provided inside an acorn, just as it is inside the womb of our human mothers. Now, how that relates to what Jean Marie was saying is that the womb of life continues to hold us to the very end with its nourishment until it's time for the cord to be broken. And when the cord is broken, the physical support is gone, and the physical life can no longer be sustained. But what emerges from that is a transformed soul, like a butterfly. The Apostle Paul talked about that in the book of Corinthians. I'll see if I can get an exact quote for you here. It's really an amazing quote. It's one of my favorites of all in the Bible, because I'm going to see what I can find here. Because it really represents the importance of physical life for us to be born fully in a spiritual life. We think that, let me find that. I know I have it. Okay. No, I don't. I thought for surely I did. Somewhere out there. I'm thinking of that little song right now, but I know I will find it. No, it looks like it is eluding me at the moment, but I will bring that back to you at another relevant moment and give it to you. If anyone wants to read 1 Corinthians, you will find a long dissertation from the Apostle Paul where he's talking about the fact that our physical bodies were necessary for our souls to be fully born. Now, this is the primary reason why the elder fathers and the apostles removed from the early books of the Bible many, many mentions. There were many mentions in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, of the fact that we have lived before. The fact that we had a life that preceded our physical life. And only a few of those mentions actually survived the editing of the text that were chosen to be the sacred, enduring, and holy text of the Bible. One of the main reasons, if not the main reason, which we can find in the dissertations of St. Augustine and Plotinus and some of the other early fathers of the church, was the full realization that our physical life is like the cocoon of a butterfly. It encases the caterpillar, and the caterpillar emerges as a fully blown, new, and more complete person. In other words, our soul has been nourished by the fact of having a human life. And yes, I would say, according to my personal experience and comparing my experience with that of many others, our soul does precede our physical life. Even in, there are several books in the Old Testament that make reference to the fact that God knew us before we were ever conceived, before we were given a physical name. So yes, I do believe the soul exists before this life, but there's something about our living this life that has a transformative effect on all that we become. And I believe that's true. Not only with regard to the positive moments we have in this life, not only with regard to the epiphanies and moments of enlightenment we have, but also our challenges, our dark nights of the soul, our times of decision, our opportunities to be here and to make formative decisions about what the soul of our being, the very nature of our being, holds as its greatest value. We came here into this life to establish our values. I believe that is the primary purpose of this life, is to establish our values. And sometimes when we don't make a strong enough stand about our values and what they are, life will bring us stronger challenges that force us to make decisions about our values. And then when we establish our values, it's almost miraculous what happens, that life will then, pardon me, life will then begin conforming to our values and supplying that which we requested. I have noticed this so often, again and again. And I just want to thank you for giving me that opportunity to bring this up, because when we hang on longer than perhaps others might think is for our good, we're still having an opportunity to establish our values. And so I pray that Melvin will have the greatest opportunity possible to establish his values, and those around him to establish their values. That's the opportunity that life brings us. And thank you very much, Jean Marie, for bringing this up. And I see that we have some others. Here's Eva. Hi, Eva, you're on. And happy Mother's Day to you. Let's see. I keep trying to click your line open. You must have it muted on your end. There we go. Hi.
Hello?
Now you're on. We can hear you.
Okay, good. Yes, last week I was not on the call live, but I listened later, and I was glad to hear somebody listening to the food revolution. Susan, I believe, called in and mentioned that, and I know there was some reference to doctors, and well, of course, doctors, I understand, do not really study food and nutrition, and that's kind of the sad part. But in my life, I had to learn to take care of myself, because I had very traumatic experiences with doctors when I was just a child. And so now I've learned more about nutrition, and I think that it's so vastly important, and they have really been able to heal cancer with simply getting the right things into the body. And I just feel like, I guess I guess I feel like the only thing we can really do, because we can't get into the AMA and the FDA and change what they're doing, but when we give the blessings, I believe that we can change the consciousness, which eventually will change what is happening in some of these higher up places. And so that I think about when I do the blessings, and also think about the forgiveness which is needed for those who have been hurt drastically by the medical profession. And like I learned through the Truth About Cancer on their 9 episodes, which were on online some time back, that actually the Holocaust, the Auschwitz was actually built by drug companies. And which I didn't know, there was a German doctor on there who said he never grew up to know that, you know, in the history books. But then I'm thinking when I was doing the blessing one day and remembering what you said about Jesus saying, without judgment, all is forgiven. And I was thinking that even that, you know, whatever has happened in life, which has been really tragic for people, and I have Jewish friends who still can't forget the Holocaust. And when we can learn how to forgive, and I think the only way to do that is to come to Yeshua and say, I'm willing to forgive. And then somehow he changes us and makes that possible in our lives.
That's a very good comment, Eva. Thank you for that. And it brings up a very, very important point for this day and the whole subject of nourishment. One of the things that we need to remember as a preface to either forgiveness of ourselves, forgiveness of others, or the world, or just generally harmful situations that often prevail and surround our life, is to broaden the experience of life, to broaden the options that we have in receiving and celebrating life, because the more choices we have as a human being, the more likely we will be to choose something that benefits us. I have noticed that almost every control agenda in the world narrows the parameter of choice. That's one of the methods of imposing control upon others, is to narrow the range of choices that are given to them so that there are very few choices, and even the few choices that are given don't matter much between one choice and another. It's still pretty much all the same thing. So as we broaden our consciousness, as we broaden our awareness, as we expand our love to include more possibilities, just by being on this earth, we are contributing to a larger envelope to embrace and nurture life and to hold all the potential of life. And as we go about doing our life and nurturing our life, one of the things that I have found is that to go to someone and say, just out of the blue, say, you know, you really hurt my feelings, but I forgive you. It may actually cause a defensive reaction, because they're going to be thinking inside themselves, well, okay, but what are you really thinking? You're thinking I hurt you, and you're wondering why I did it, and you know, you don't have the human mind guts. But if you just go, let's say it's somebody you work with or your next door neighbor or someone in your family, you just go to see the person with a box of cookies. Just say, you know, I had a few too many cookies. I thought you might enjoy these. And the person will just relax and say, well, that's so nice of you. And then maybe somewhere in the conversation, it can come up that you know, I was really upset for a while, but I realized that it just didn't matter because our friendship just means more to me than that. And then the person will stay relaxed enough that maybe, just maybe, you can have a conversation. You see, one of the things that we all want is care and nourishment. And if you can provide that care and nourishment, even for those that you're very upset with, you're much more likely to obtain a constructive conversation that has good results. The same thing is true of anything we want in our life. Let's just say we've got a business that's not working perhaps as well as we hoped it would. And you're not getting customers or clients or sales in a particular area that you need. There's something always you could do to nourish your business. There's something you could take on, maybe a partner. Maybe you could just refurbish some part of it. There's something about just paying attention to something that brings it back to life. And when anything has more life to it, it draws more attraction to it. There's nothing more attractive than life. And this is what we get from our mothers, from our Mother Earth, from all of our mothering supplies and sources. We get life. We get inspiration. We get, I like to think of the Holy Spirit in many ways as feminine. I know it's neither feminine nor masculine, but sometimes I think of it as feminine because I like to just immerse myself in it until all of a sudden I feel like I've been brought back to life. Sort of like the way you feel on a hot day when you're just all tired and you dive into the swimming pool and it's cool and it just surrounds you and you just want to float in it for a little while. And then you get out and you say, I don't know how you did it, but you just brought me back to life. Thank you so much. Well, whenever we immerse ourselves in the things that bring us back to life, everything in our life is just going to be better. And it would be my extreme suggestion, recommendation, that you make that one of your value priorities in life, to seek life in the living always, whether it's a cold shower, whether it's the nourishing food, whether it's speaking to your best friend, holding your cat in your lap, writing a letter to someone, or taking a nap, whatever brings you more life will bring you more success in the next thing you do. Just remember how your mom would greet you after school with milk and cookies and then tell you to take a nap, and after you took a nap, she wouldn't force you to go do your homework right away. She'd say, go play for a little while. We'll have dinner. You had dinner, and then you would go and do your homework. She was so careful about always providing the next step of vitality for you. And if you got a little too rowdy, she would know that you had the wrong kind of, not life, but agitation. And she would find ways to calm you down so that the agitation could be converted into genuine, constructive energy and directed towards something more positive. That was her job. Her job was to help you from the very first moment you were conceived into life, and then to help you grow into life, and then to bring you more life, and to keep you focused upon life as your primary value in life. And so I think one of best ways we could celebrate our mom today is say, just thank you, Mom, for my life. And thank you so much for teaching me how important it is to value life in everything, to follow life in the living, and to determine what I support by how much life it gives me, by how much life there is in it, to know that when there's life in something, I can trust it. When there's life in something, there's God in that thing. When there's life in something, something good will come from it. I may not know what, I may not know how, but I know that if I stay with life in the living, life will teach me how. Life will shape my direction. Life will bring me into perfect focus with what I need to do next. Life will direct my attention toward what I need to eat, when I need to sleep, who I need to speak with, and just what I need to do next, when I need to stop and pray, when I need to give thanks, and when I need to let go because something isn't working. Our moms really hesitated because they never wanted to disappoint us. But remember, sometimes that's what our mom really, really did that was the most important for us, is she would help us get closure on things that weren't working because she would notice when there was no more life in it, when it wasn't doing any good for us, when it wasn't helping us, when it wasn't nurturing us. Well, thank you, Mom, for all these lessons. And we know that essentially your one great lesson was about life, how to live it, how to get the best from it, and how to give life to others. And so with that thought, we want to move into the blessing today. For Christ's blessing is all about his giving of life. His giving of life to us, his teaching us how to have the best possible life, and how to share our lives with one another. So that will be our focus today in honor of Mom, in honor of all the moms on the call, and in honor of the great mother lesson that we all are still learning, which is the lesson of life, the reverence for life, and the way we value it. So, blessing givers, will you join me? And I will start my prayer to Yeshua, after which I would ask that each one of you then begin your prayer while we are conveying the energy of life to you. And that energy will seek life, find life, rebuild life, activate life, nurture life, and find places that need more life within you, that all may be well. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, light of the world, Son of God, brother of us, all humanity, keeper of all life, lover of life, we thank you for your life. We thank you for your lessons of life and for giving your life to us and being here today that we may have more fullness of life in all that we do, in all that we are, in all that we shall ever be and have. Amen. blessing has been given. Now it's time for you to go and rest and receive all that the Holy Spirit and our Almighty Father and Yeshua have given for us to bless our life and to bring us more life and more fullness of life. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.